iPodTech.net brings you a conversation with Metaswitch's Chris Mayers. He's the CTO and Senior Vice President of Business Development, and with Andy Randall, Vice President of Marketing. They'll discuss the partnership between Cisco and Metaswitch, the definition of service in next-generation networks, and the challenges CLEX face in the 21st century IT climate.
So I'm Chris Mayers, I'm the Metaswitch CTO, and I'm also the Senior VP for Business Development.
Welcome to the podcast.
I'm Andy Randall, VP of Marketing at Metaswitch.
So thanks for being here. We're here at the Marriott in Orlando, kind of a side event to CompTel. There was just a breakfast put on by Metaswitch for some of your customers and business partners. And I wanted to talk to you, Chris, if you could start with your CTO hat on, to talk about some of the challenges CLEX are facing and kind of the technological challenges, how to develop a 21st century platform as an equipment vendor.
Okay, so CLEX will always be in the position of needing to innovate and differentiate themselves from the incumbents. The incumbent has the huge advantage of owning the customer base, and the CLEX often moving in a competitive way to take customers away. And so what they need to do is be able to offer innovative services and different service bundles, where the customer maybe says, well, the telephone service I get from my incumbent provider is all right, so I'm fine with that. But hey, if I can get that in a single pricing bundle with video as well and with some unique data services, then I'm prepared to move in order to take the bundle. Or similarly, the CLEC may be able to pick up on a new trend in social trend. I mean, a classic example historically would have been something like text messaging, or another one that's sort of reasonably hot at the moment is presence or custom ringback. All these new services that come along, and the key is that the CLEC needs to be able to deliver that more quickly than the incumbent in order to be able to move in. And so they need an architecture where they can slot in new services quickly, and those services may come from different vendors. So they've got services coming from multiple different vendors on different application server platforms. And one of the keys here is an architecture such as IMS. And Metaswitch has, for the past 2 years, already had some of the infrastructure in place that allows those application servers to be slotted in, which allows for quick delivery of new services. And the key then is how do you blend all that in such a way that the experience for the user is seamless. They don't need to see that all the different applications are coming from different vendors. And the billing infrastructure is correct and the operational infrastructure is correct so that CLEC can actually make money from that. And there's a lot of nuts and bolts in the architecture of the network and specifically the architecture of the switch to allow appropriate records to be thrown out at the right time and then consolidated back together again, and all the subscriber information to be held in a single repository, which is called the HSS, the Home Subscriber Server. And from there, all the different application servers can pull out data relating to the subscriber and offer a joined-up solution.
Chris, I have a question from that. The way you're presenting it, which I think is right, is that CLEX need to be more nimble, need to be faster than the incumbents, and we see IMS as an architecture to enable this, and that all makes sense. But then when you look at the headlines, it's the incumbents who are all making the noise about the move to IMS and the ones that are embracing this architecture. You see a conflict there. I mean, what's really happening in terms of who's adopting IMS and what people are doing with advanced services?
Okay, that's an interesting question. So if you look at the very big guys, the AT&Ts of this world, then what's driving them to IMS is a need to replace a very, very, very complex and monolithic network infrastructure with a new architecture. And they've settled on IMS as being the right architecture. And they are throwing literally billions of dollars at that sort of network replacement. And they need a strong architecture to do that with. And IMS is the best blueprint around to do that with. for the smaller guys, IMS, whilst you may not want to take it in its absolutely purest form and take every single piece and decompose the network to the ultimate level, nonetheless, it has some very clear differentiation of the network into the control plane, transport, and the application server plane. And by that separation out into different planes, smaller guys can leverage the IMS architecture to give them a better service delivery platform.
You kind of discussed, I guess, the definition of service for next generation networks in that last question. Is there more to say about that?
You can't just deliver plain old voice anymore. You've got to be able to deliver new services, and you won't know what those services are today. And certainly you won't know what services people are prepared to pay for. So a classic example would be ringtones on mobile phones. Today, many youngsters expect to be able to download a whole track of music for free. But equally, they'll pay 99 cents or $1.99 for a ringtone on their mobile phone, which is only a small clip of that same track. So how does that work? I don't understand it, but people do that. And so as a service provider, you're never going to be able to rationalize or prejudge what's going to happen. But when a phenomenon does happen, you need to be able to make the most of it and make money from it.
And I think that points to one of the key things about service delivery is it's not just about being able to do these things, it's about the granularity with which you can bill for them as well. And yeah, some things are going to go to bundles where people pay a monthly subscription fee, but in other areas it's moving very much towards having a lot of small cheap transactions. You know, that's why iTunes is, you know, does so well selling all these songs at 99 cents each. You know, if a service provider can move into that model where people in some sense get some kind of service for, you know, a small fee at a time, then that's very much going with the direction that certainly the younger generation are expecting to be able to get access to things.
So a good example of that might be, as a residential user, the parents might have set up a teen line service where you have a separate facility on your home phone where if a call comes in for your teenager, it rings to a different number associated with the home phone, and you get a different ringtone for it, and that's for your teenage kid. Now, what you might want to do is have a package bundle where the teenager gets $10 a month, which they can spend either on calls or on text messages or on ringtones. And there's a single bundle there, and the teenager makes a choice. The parent, of course, is safe because they've partitioned the bundle to only $10 a month, but the teenager gets to spend the money on what they want to spend it on.
But most billing systems today wouldn't be able to let you do that. Most carriers can't deliver that kind of service yet because the billing systems aren't there and the back-end infrastructure isn't there. So I think that's where we're getting to.
That's right. So it's not just the underlying protocols, which IMS is so heavy on. It's some of the more sort of prosaic back-office stuff like the billing systems, which have to be changed to make them much more granular.
As Senior VP of Business Development, you manage overall Metaswitch's partnership with Cisco Systems. Can you tell me a little bit more about what Metaswitch is doing with Cisco?
Sure. So our relationship with Cisco is primarily a sales partnership. So both our sales forces are joined up and make joint calls on customers where we can offer a combination of Cisco equipment, Metaswitch equipment, and possibly professional services from either organization to deliver a total solution. We also have close relationships with Cisco's product management teams for their various equipment, their routers, their IADs, their phones, and through that combination of product management relationships and sales relationships, we can actually deliver effective solutions in the CLEC space, but also in the rural IOC space, and also in cable. We've just recently announced a relationship with Cisco in the cable space.
And I can talk about that a bit maybe from the customer perspective. I think what we see when we do go out to customers and talk to them about the Cisco relationship and do those joint calls with the Cisco team is that they very much look to Cisco as the incumbent vendor, as the dominant vendor for next generation networking infrastructure. And so a lot of our customers, they're not just making a decision about putting in a soft switch. They're making a decision about changing their network completely, about migrating their network to a next-gen core. And so those decisions are very tightly tied together in terms of how do we upgrade our network infrastructure and how do we deliver applications and services on top of that. And so the fact we have that partnership there really enables them to take a holistic view of what they're trying to do, and also obviously makes them feel good about Metaswitch, and that, you know, we're taking that view that we have to go beyond just the soft switch to make sure that their whole network implementation works. And, you know, that's a key driver behind the partnership with Cisco, is to make sure that we're not just delivering a switching platform, but we work with the routers, with the switches, with the customer premise equipment that, you know, Cisco's very dominant in, for example, IP phones, you know, the world's largest supplier of IP phones. So that we see very good feedback from the customers about how that relationship's working.
Just adding a little bit to what Andy was saying about the technical challenges of a voice over IP network. We have a very distributed switch architecture where we separate out the media gateway from the call agent, and we have redundant call agents, and that's all great. But if the underlying IP network doesn't have the appropriate characteristics in terms of latency, jitter, and redundant paths, and it's very complex building a totally redundant IP network, if that infrastructure isn't there, then whatever we do in the switch is worth nothing. So that sort of relationship with Cisco is important for us.
Chris Mayers, CTO and SVP of Business Development for Metaswitch.
Thank you.
And Andy Randall, VP of Marketing for Metaswitch. Thanks so much. At the World Center Marriott in Orlando, Florida. This is PodTech.net.